Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Consequence of Sound Feed. We've been putting together some really great podcasts to keep you hooked on the best audio content. Today, we're going to share really cool crate diggings from Consequence Uncut. Consequence Uncut presents unfiltered, unedited conversations with the biggest names in music, entertainment, and pop culture. You get to hear from the writer about what it was like to meet that guest, and then dive into the full discussion so you can learn everything that didn't make it into the article. If you like what you hear, check out the link to Consequence Uncut in the show notes and follow it wherever you get your podcasts. So now, please enjoy Consequence Uncut's Chromeo Pick 10 Essential Daytona Funk Albums. Welcome to Consequence Uncut, a series that gives listeners and readers a deeper dive into our features with major artists.
For this episode, we're taking you deeper into a crate digging conversation that we had with Chromeo about 10 essential Dayton, Ohio funk records that everyone should own.
Where is the institutional sort of recognition for stuff like this? It's certainly not there enough. And I think that when we started Chromeo, our whole deal is that like we felt like this music did not get its flowers. And we were like, dude, we're going to take this music. We're going to disguise it as bloghouse or electro or indie or whatever other genres we were adjacent to. And we're going to use this as a Trojan horse to make more people familiar with this stuff. Because this stuff, as kids and as outsiders, it blew our minds.
I'm Mijon Zulu, lead podcast producer at Consequence.
I'm Paolo Ragusa, an associate editor at Consequence.
So, Paolo, welcome back. It's so good to see you. Happy New Year.
I am back again. Happy New Year.
Back again with quality content.
Exactly. I'm definitely excited about this edition of Crate Digging. It's a series where we have artists pick 10 essential records from a specific genre or scene that everybody should own. For this episode, we had Chromeo pick a rather unexpected entry, Dayton, Ohio funk record. I'll be totally honest, before they decided to select this as their theme, I did not know anything about Dayton, Ohio funk records.
It's funny that you say that because I feel like a lot of people have heard of Dayton, Ohio. Like they know that it's a thing that exists in the ether, but I don't think that everyone would be able to say like, I know a lot of things about Dayton, Ohio. And I don't think that anyone would have thought that two guys from Montreal, one Jewish, one Arab, and both French speaking would be like, yo, Dayton, Ohio, we got that tip.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it was also really exciting to see just first of all, how this region and the music that came out of that region in the late 70s and the early 80s had such a profound impact on their music as Chromeo, and in a way that was also unexpected, because a lot of these songs and a lot of these records that they named are albums and songs that have been sampled by so many hip hop artists over the years, especially West Coast hip hop. A huge thing that they talk about that I think is super important and really exciting is that it all goes back to this guy, Roger Troutman. He pioneered an instrument called the talkbox. And this, according to Chromeo, is one of their instruments of choice. And it had a huge impact on the music that they would come to make.
Yeah. And literally, a talkbox is the instrument that P plays. And I'm going to call him P. I know his name is P Thug People, but you know what? After listening to this interview, I feel like I'm on a first name basis with Chromeo. I mean, I basically only work at Consequence because it makes me feel like I'm eventually famous, but that's another story.
Definitely. Yeah. And I've heard so many uses of the talkbox on Chromeo songs. So it's really exciting to hear them talk about the history of this instrument and the way that Roger Troutman's legacy continued from Dayton, Ohio and beyond. He also talks about two other really essential groups. Roger Troutman was in a group called Zap, so that was one of the essential groups. But the two other ones that really pioneered the genre in Dayton, Ohio are Slave and the Ohio Players. Both of these groups were kind of large collectives, and they had such a profound impact on other musicians from Dayton, on the funk scene at large, and then eventually, as I had said earlier, on hip-hop about 20 years later.
And you know what? When I was listening to this, I started getting chills because we did a crate digging article with Paul Wall and Terminology, where they were talking about boom bap rap, and they were talking about how music from New Orleans and Southern jazz was influencing rap. And when you listen to it, you totally hear those musical connections, and you're like, oh, I could see how that happened, and how they, you know, how people are using the music that they grew up with to create all this whole new genre that was burgeoning. And it's so cool to see that funk has its own personal story as well, and that it influences, you know, Chromeo as this kind of like Trojan horse, like, hey, listen to Chromeo, we'll help you dance, but actually we're going to educate you about this music that is so essential and that's under celebrated.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about how, like, a lot of people know the story of Motown. A lot of people know the story of Stax Records. There's so many, you know, massive, like, legacy record labels and movements and scene that even, you know, when it does come into our cultural understanding of Black movements and Black history, you know, people know a lot more about those scenes and those movements now than they did. But Dayton, Ohio's funk scene is strangely left out of the picture. And I really appreciate that Chromeo is sort of attacking this as a bit of like an issue, as saying like, no, this is a movement, this is a scene that we need to be culturally aware of and give its, give it its respect. And that's, I think, why they came into this session so enthusiastic about this specific scene. I think if you're listening to this and you check out these records and you read up on the history, especially of Roger Troutman and his brothers in the band Zap, you're going to learn a lot.
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess it's because, you know, the main employers in Dayton is like the university, the medical center. Like, it's not a place where people are like, oh yeah, I go to Dayton for da 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 da. But
yeah.
I'm so inspired that these guys from Montreal like latched onto this music and it brought us Chromeo, which is amazing. And that, you know, they're really using their art, their platform, and their voices to really celebrate it and really try and get this story told. I'm signing up for that documentary. I hope we do a little, like, you know, deep dive into funk music. I'm sold.
Absolutely. Yeah, they talk about wanting to sort of do their own documentary spotlighting this scene in this region. And I think they ended up having to kind of push that aside a little bit as they have a new album coming out. It comes out on Friday, February 16th. It's called Adult Contemporary. Probably the best Chromeo album yet. Definitely check that out if you're listening to this. You will also groove along to it the way you would groove along to Zap and to Slave and the Ohio Players.
Yeah, I'm so excited about their album coming out. And, you know, this is just a great way to jump right in.
So you can check out the full article on consequence.net.
And please remember to subscribe to this podcast feed to stay up to date with these in-depth interviews. And now I'll turn it over to Paolo and Chromeo's P Thug and Dave One for this interview. Please enjoy.
You guys have an album coming out in a couple weeks. We're very excited about it. It was on our most anticipated albums of 2024 list.
Yeah, thank you for putting that on there.
Of course. I love that song with LaRue last year. It's just been so great to see you guys come back so strong. Real quick, you know, before the album comes out, tell me what it's been like, you know, doing promo for this, how excited you are for it to come out in a couple weeks. And yeah.
I mean, yeah, well, you know, it's a grind and you never really know how it's going to be received or how it's going to land. You probably have it. They probably sent you the whole thing.
I think
already,
they did. So. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So you tell us, you listen to it and tell us what you think. We're kind of tunnel vision a little bit.
Yeah. You're like so enmeshed. Yeah. I mean, I love it. I do feel like it's classic Chromeo.
Classic. Yeah.
Songs were a little bit more unexpected to me. Having some of the guests on the songs too. Like, I noticed that LaRue song's just fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. She's the only guest on it. It's one guest this time around.
That's interesting. It also just feels like you're hearkening back to a style when you first started that, like, yeah. I feel like is coming around to being like extra fashionable again, if you don't mind me saying. Like, I feel like the Chromeo sound is in like a really fun, nostalgic way. So I'm very excited for it to come out. Let's dig into Dayton Funk Essentials for this edition of Crate Digging. First question I have before we dig into the albums is, why Dayton, Ohio? Why are we taking the trip to Dayton?
So I'll start with that, and then P will talk more about the songs on the playlist. I'll just add a few little things. But basically, you know, our brand, our subgenre of funk has always been really influenced by the Minneapolis sound. Yeah. So, right. So, you know, funk in America, it's still, unfortunately, for different institutional, prejudicial, racist reasons, it's under taught and it's underappreciated and it's under discussed. But much like every other American genre music, it's got different strands and local kind of variations, right? Like regional variations. So the Minneapolis sound of funk, you could say, is like the Prince, the Time, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, all the way to what they produced for Janet Jackson, and that kind of like, you know, very raw, very drum machine and synthesizer bass, based, right? Not bass, based. You know, Ready for the World, those kinds of groups. And because we use drum machines and it's mainly drum machines, guitar, bass, and synthesizers, we always considered Minneapolis our kind of spirit animal. But P's main instrument is the talk box. And, you know, that is attributed to Roger Troutman. And Roger Troutman and Zapp are from Dayton, Ohio. And Dayton, Ohio, you could say even more so than Minneapolis. I think P would agree to that. Dayton, Ohio, more so than Minneapolis, has a variety of funk bands that really are kind of seminal to the genre. And before we delve into the playlist, you know, P and I have a dream of doing a documentary about Zapp, and it's going to happen. We just we were pretty far along, and then COVID happened, so we're still wanting to do that. But beyond that, there's also a social history about Dayton, Ohio. And when we started setting the stage for that project, we wondered why so much funk was coming out of Dayton, Ohio in the 70s and 80s. And P, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the reasons, or one of the main reasons, is that Dayton had a substantial middle class. I believe it was an industry town at the time. And it had a substantial middle class. You had a lot of families that had basements. Kids could learn instruments and practice together. And that kind of gave way to this like shape-shifting funk tradition where young musicians could thrive and could practice because they had houses and there was room for it. And it didn't mean they were rich. It was just like a solid middle class thing. So Dayton, Ohio is a story also about a community and an economic moment in time in the 60s, 70s in America that gave way to this like really specific brand of funk. And I guess, and then I'll pass the mic over to P when we go, because we're going to go track by track, right?
If you could go album by album, that would be best. But, you know, for the sake of this, since you got the playlist with songs, you know,
just yeah,
the album that the song is on, and then just list the essential.
So I'll tell you what, P will talk about the songs and I'll look up what the album. Well, actually, we have the album. It's just that we basically, some of the albums are from the greatest hits, but you can find the individual
That's okay.
albums too.
The
That's
greatest
fine, right?
hits is also perfectly valid.
Yeah. It's actually probably better for this because it's more pedagogical. But I think for me, like the zenith, I mean, obviously, you know, there's different groups, but for P and I, as far as P and I are concerned, the zenith is Zapp and Roger because they have the talk box, and that really influenced us since we were teenagers, and that whole family are kind of like heroes to us. But that. There's other huge funk bands that we'll talk about and that we'll go over. So we'll start digging in. I guess the first one is the group Sun. We took it from their greatest hits, and the song is Want to Make Love. And maybe P wants to say a couple words about it.
The reason why this is first on this on the list is that this Sun is an older group from Dayton. It dates from the early 70s. And this was an album that was produced by Roger Troutman and his brother Lester. You can definitely hear, and that's why this song is in this. This is one of the first times Roger was experimenting with a talk box. That's actually him playing the talk box through a guitar on that song. And that's Lester playing the drums. They came in, basically these dudes were like the old guys from Dayton. And Roger and Larry and Lester, sorry, were the young cats. And they went up to these kids and they were like, hey,
P, who's the kids and who's the old guys?
The kids are Roger Troutman and Lester Troutman.
Got it. And Sun is an older band.
Sun is an older band. They were like a generation over. They had already had two or three albums out. And what's really interesting is if you go back to their previous albums and you hear the difference, it's pretty obvious who did what. It's giving you the blueprint for Zap One. When you listen to songs like Be All Right, the drum sounds, the way it's produced, the way it's mixed, it's very similar to Sun, that album, that specific album that Roger and Lester produced and also wrote and composed. But they came in as like, hey, we're the new guys, the equivalent of today. If somebody was to come in and add plugins to, I don't know, an 80s band, you know, they came in with the new technology. And Roger Troutman was at his most creative spot where he was like, I want to use this talk box. And, you know, Roger was referencing Sly and the Family Stone with the talk box. That's how it started before he made it into like a lead vocal with a synthesizer because he was missing the sustain on the talk box notes. You know what I mean? That's literally the first steps. This is the birth of Roger Troutman and Zap.
So just to correct a little bit, actually, this is their debut album. So maybe if you're referencing Sun before that, they were probably playing live or in other configurations. But this is actually the first Sun album. And the first album is this one from 1976.
Yeah, I mean, they had previous albums. They had previous albums. But we're talking about, you know, 1971, a local Dayton band. They weren't, I don't even think, you know, distributed or anything. This is
right.
We're literally talking about the guys from around the block.
Let's move on.
Perfect. You guys can keep going on number two of Dayton Funk Essentials.
So Rough So Tough by Zap from the album The Many Facets of Roger.
This is, I mean, I threw this one in because I just you know, there's so many Zap songs that we could have used for that. This one, I thought it was fun because there's a big Beastie Boys sample on there. And I mean, to me, the definition of funk is Zap and Roger Troutman. We have a lot of talk box during our show. We use the talk box. This is where it started when Dave and I were like teenagers collecting records and we discovered the music of Parliament Funkadelic, Bootsy Collins and Zap. That was pretty much the start. The day I heard More Bounce to the Ounce, So Rough, So Tough, Dance Floor, I knew that was something I wanted to do and recreate for the rest of my life.
That's beautiful. I really appreciate that. Dave, anything you have to say about this specific Zap album?
Nah, this is peace at it all.
Peace at it all. Beautiful.
Let's move on to Heatwave.
Number three.
A couple of words on Heatwave. They're British. But they've got two members. They've got two members from Dayton. So, P, why did you want to include that one?
They are British. The two main members in there are from Dayton. And another member is Rod Temperton, who wrote a lot of Michael Jackson stuff. So, in my mind, Heatwave has always been a sort of a power group.
Is that a super group?
A super group, yeah.
I love the fact that they've got a drummer from Czechoslovakia.
Heatwave has always fascinated me because of that diversity. That's kind of why I've been on there.
So what is the album title specifically for this Heatwave album?
Candles.
The cover is insane, if I remember correctly.
Amazing.
It's like an airbrush thing with like melting cakes and candles.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Amazing. Great. And then what was the essential track for this?
Gangsters of the Groove. Our first song that ever came out as Chromeo ever was called You're So Gangsta.
There you go.
That's why I put it on there.
Love it.
The next one is Aura. Aura is the band. The song is called Are You Single? The album is called Send Your Loves. What's the deal with that one?
The thing about Dayton is that all roads lead back to Ohio Players and Slave. So a lot of projects are offshoots from those two bands. Aura had a specific style that I always loved. And I remember Dave and I collecting records together and be like, we'd look at the cover and be like, this is so Prince. Like, this is very... It has a certain, like, it has a Minneapolis vibe to it. It's not as, like, slavey or lakesidey as the rest of the Dayton stuff. It's got a bit of a Minneapolis thing, which I always appreciated.
Wonderful. I think we're on to number five now.
Number five, oh my God, Shirley Murdoch. The song is called Teaser, and the album is also called Shirley Murdoch. And I mean,
Shirley Murdoch has a beautiful duet with Roger Troutman. And so she's sick.
Well, not only that, Shirley Murdoch was their Tuatha, you know, like.
We got to explain who Tuatha is. So Tuatha, Paolo, she is the singer from the 80s funk band Entombed. She sings the song Juicy Fruit. You know what Biggie sampled on Juicy? Mm-hmm. That's an original song called Juicy Fruit by a group called Entombed. And it's a female vocal. You know very well who you are. Don't let me hold you down. And so that woman who sang that is still very much alive and kicking today. She sang backups with Steely Dan. She sang with Aretha. And she's our go-to backup singer for our last three albums. So
Anytime.
Well, actually, there's an exception, which we'll tie back to this. But anyway, yeah. So Tuatha sings our backing vocals. And when P says that she was like the Tuatha to Zap and Roger, I guess she was their go-to backing vocalist. Is that right?
Yeah. And not only that, but a lot of those records were produced by Roger and Lester also. She was kind of like their big, you know, their sister, their spiritual sister. To this day, Lester speaks very highly about Shirley.
Wonderful. Yeah. Great. And then you had you enlisted the essential track.
It's called Teaser.
Teaser. Okay. We're on to number six. These are all so exciting. I can't wait to dig into these albums later.
Everything is here for a reason, too. And so
everything connects together. So with our personal story or intertwined between each other. So
the next one is the band Slaves. And the song is called Slide. And the album is also called Slaves. And as P said before, you know, he said like everything ties back to kind of Slave and the Ohio Players. And so I'm gonna say something a little bit, and then we'll talk about the song, but how it ties back. So how it ties back to our personal history. If you look at that song on Spotify, there's actually two primary artists, Slave and Jimmy Douglas. All right. Jimmy Douglas was the producer for that band. And I think that, you know, for some kind of Spotify reason, he's also listed as primary artist. Jimmy Douglas has a daughter. He's called Felicia Douglas. And she sings with a band that you probably know called the Dirty Projectors. You know, the Dirty Projectors. She also sings backing vocals on two songs on our new album because her style is very different than Tuatha. So when Tuatha is not singing backing vocals on this album, it's Felicia Douglas, daughter of Jimmy Douglas, producer of Slave, seminal funk band from Dayton, Ohio. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Amazing. Anything you want to add, Pete?
So Steve Arrington also had a solo career. What I say, a lot of projects and artists from Dayton are offshoots of either Ohio players or a Slave. Steve Arrington is one of them who went on and had a very successful solo career after he left a Slave. We'll have a track a bit later about him.
All right. The next one is a big classic. That one, I would say it's probably one of the most famous Dayton songs. It's called Riding High. The album is called Riding High. The group is called Faze O, like F-A-Z-E-O. And that one you've probably heard before. It's funny because we discovered a lot of those songs when we were teenagers on compilations, CD compilations called like Old School Funk Volume 3. And personally, I never liked that song. I don't know why I hated it. Because it's like, it's weird. That song's like not really, it's not really groovy. It's kind of like, I don't know, it's weird. It's a little bit psychedelic. Because it's got like this drone-y synth. Mm-hmm. Like it's just weird. I don't know. But now I listen to it and I find it genius. Well, P, you might want to add a little something on that one.
I like Faze O because they had a distinct style. It's very goofy. It's not like the typical, you know?
Yeah.
Like Dave said, they have very elongated, drone-y, almost ethereal songs. They have very strange funk sounds that are straight up, you know, like boom, clap, boom, clap. Very, very lo-fi. I like them in the... In the landscape of Dayton funk, they really have their place, I think.
And that song, Riding High, is famous also because it was sampled by EPMD, seminal rap groups from the 90s. They have a song called Please Listen to My Demo. and it samples the song. And EPMD is interesting. People usually associate West Coast hip hop with those kind of funk samples.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But EPMD is New York, and they're specific. They're kind of like not talked about enough, I find. Like, they don't mention them like the way like De La Soul had a whole renaissance and stuff. Obviously, like, you know, well-deserved. But I feel like more people need to talk about EPMD because they were really special. And they're an East Coast rap group. They're from Long Island. But all their samples were funk. That was their twist. And yeah, actually, they sampled all the Rogers stuff a couple of years before Dr. Dre. Like, Dr. Dre kind of ran with that, but EPMD.
Yeah,
they were doing that thing in like 91. I mean, obviously NWA and them were doing it, but EPMD was doing it with a New York twist. They're very interesting. They're very singular.
EPMD is probably the main reason why I fell in love with funk music, because EPMD was one of the first bands I listened to when I moved to Canada. You know, I was into hip hop, so I was like listening to LL Cool J, EPMD, De La Soul, and EPMD always had those, you know, those talk box sample, those funk samples. And when we started collecting records, I was like, whoa, this is from EPMD, this is from here, this is from that. And I knew all that music already because I've heard the loops before. I've heard them chopped up.
So anyway, so that song is famously sampled by EPMD. The next one we have is Steve Arrington, member of aforementioned group Slave. The song is called Speak With Your Body. The album is called Steve Arrington's Hall of Fame Volume 1, which is hilarious because it's his debut album. You know, love people who call their debut album Greatest Hits.
Yeah,
actually, my brother did that with Duck Sauce as well.
Yeah, Duck Sauce. I was like, I think that sounds very familiar.
Yeah, Duck Sauce's first album is called Greatest Hits. So yeah, so Steve Arrington, I believe, is he's the bass player from Slave, and the producer on that album is Jimmy Douglas, who we talked about before. So again, it all kind of connects together, which is kind of dope when you have a smaller town like that and a scene of musicians, because there's like all these charts you can draw in between all the players, literally all the players. And it's fascinating. It's like a Rubik's Cube. But anyways, Pete, did you choose that song for a specific reason?
One or two reasons, because he came from Slave, but also because his career continued on and he's actually active.
He's on Stone's Throw. Did you know Stone's Throw? Yeah, Stone's Throw Records, probably one of the greatest independent hip hop records of the labels of the 90s all the way till today. Madlib, Jay Dilla, Steve Arrington's got an album on there. Two.
He kind of always reminded me of a tamer version of Rick James. He's just always involved everywhere. His career lasted so long. You see him in interviews, he's a real character.
So what number are we at now? I think we're at number 9, correct?
Yeah, we're number 9 with the Ohio Players. The song is called Fire. The album is called Fire. And, you know, like, I think, obviously, they're called the Ohio Players. It's weird. So they're the first songs that we discovered, the first song we discovered from them as kids, again, through hip-hop samples, is a song called Funky Warm. And, like, there's something about that, the sort of the Moog keyboard, which kind of became like a very G-funk sound, right? But it just like that kind of legato, like thing like that, right? And Funky Warm has it in a really zany way. But P, you chose the song Fire.
Yeah, because we all know the other one. Fire is a great song. The thing about Ohio Players is that they had so many members. They're kind of like Parliament. There's two other artists on this playlist that come from Ohio Players. Not only one, but there's another one, Junie Morrison. I don't know if you've heard of Junie Morrison. He also has solo albums, later solo albums, which are very much in the Parliament funkadelic type of funk. And they also gave birth to Sugarfoot, which is on that list a bit later, I think.
Ohio Players is really like, they're like the godfathers of all that, because they formed in 1959. So like they're like a whole, almost like two generations before all the other ones, right? If you look on their wiki, like of all the members, like the list is like this, you know? Yeah, you could say they're probably one of the most important funk bands, period, because they're kind of like...
They're like the bizarro Parliament Funkadelic. That's how I always saw them. They have so many members, proficient, so many, you know, it's impressive. It's impressive.
It's kind of crazy. It's and again, like, you know, to tie it back to what we were saying before, and I think this is like a really important point for us to make on this episode, is that all this music is underreported, it's under discussed, and it's under acknowledged. And I know I sound kind of like, I don't want to sound like too vindictive when I say this, but one of the reasons we started Chromeo is that like we're literally like outsiders from this whole world. You know, we're French speaking dudes from Montreal, Canada, from immigrant families. We did not grow up with this kind of music. And we discovered it in the 90s through hip hop samples. And then we went back and traced the roots of all these samples. And because we played music and were in the high school band, we fell in love with funk music. And so we were able to appreciate it from the outside and without the musical segregation and the prejudices that came along with the American music industry in the 70s, 60s and 70s, where radio genres were segregated. You had black music, you had R&B stations that were separated from like pop music and so on, and rock music. It's really fucked up. And earlier on today, we're doing an interview with the Grammys, and there's no category for funk. They have broad R&B categories, but you're really talking about a salt of the earth Americana genre, right? That comes from an industrial town, Dayton, Ohio, middle America, middle class. This is the American dream, right? This is the American post-war, the American post-war model is to create these functional middle-class towns, right? In the middle of the country, where a thriving middle class can do shit like form bands and have kids practice in their garage. You have these seminal bands, right? One of them creates one of the most sampled catalog of songs of all time, right? Up there with James Brown, probably even more, because like every couple of years there's a song that comes out sampling Computer Love, right? Yeah. All the time, right? Ohio Players, they're monuments, right? Steve Arrington still puts out records today, prolific. Jimmy Douglas, who's from Slave as well, right? The producer, we talked about him before. He mixed albums, mixed and produced for Duran Duran, Kanye West. I mean, you name it. Timbaland, he was the mixing engineer for all the Timbaland songs. Oh, everything you ever heard from Timbaland is mixed and engineered by Jimmy Douglas. And yet, where is the institutional sort of recognition for stuff like this? It's not there, or it's certainly not there enough. And I think that when we started Chromeo, our whole deal is that like we felt like this music did not get its flowers. And we were like, dude, we're going to take this music, we're going to disguise it as bloghouse or electro or indie or whatever other genres we were adjacent to. And we're going to use this as a Trojan horse to make more people familiar with this stuff. Because this stuff, as kids and as outsiders, it blew our minds. It really ties into the raison d'être of our band.
Yeah. Before we move on, I want to emphasize like the importance of Juni Morrison, because he was the link between Ohio Players and Funkadelic. He later joined Funkadelic, Parliament Funkadelic. And he was really instrumental, no pun intended, in the sound of the later records. And it's, to me, those links are so important. And like Dave said, Parliament Funkadelic changed music forever. Ohio Players changed music forever. And the link between them, between Zapp and Roger, between the whole Dayton community and all the bands that came out of there, it's really, you know, it's something that should, the story should be told.
Yeah. Like the Grammys barely started to recognize Jimmy Jam and Jerry Lewis, you know, like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I think, just like inducted them. Like, you know, it's just new that this stuff is starting to get institutional recognition. All right, so next one, which is the 10th one, this is definitely a song you know, Lakeside Fantastic Voyage from the album Fantastic Voyage. When we were literally like kids, Coolio came out. That was his song. That was his hit. And
that's how we learned about that song.
There you go.
Yeah, sample. Actually, I gave Pete the Coolio album on vinyl. I don't know what birthday it was. It probably was like your 60th birthday, maybe 17th birthday. But I gave you that album on vinyl, if you remember.
Yeah, I do remember.
Yeah. The Coolio album on vinyl. Yeah. That was his birthday present. And that was the song. Like Fantastic Voyage was like, you know, crazy. So that's really an anthem. And then we got two bonus cuts. One of them is important because the band is called Dayton.
Oh, wow.
It's funny, right? That's another thing is those guys were really representing. You got the Ohio players. You've got the band Dayton. They were really trying to put this thing on the map. We got to talk about this more. So the band is called Hot Fun in the Summertime. The album is called Hot Fun. And the band is called Dayton. P, you want to say a couple of things about that?
Exactly the same reason we just talked about. I put it on there because you call your band, you know, the place where you're from better than of Montreal, who are not from Montreal.
Are they not? I don't think so, actually. Maybe they are. I think you're right. Wait, what happened with that band? They were dope.
It's been a while, but
they're around. Yo, they're from Georgia. What the fuck? You know what? Athens, Georgia. What Athens, Georgia is to Indy is what Dayton, Ohio is to Funk.
Yeah, that's so fair. You actually can make that comparison.
Yeah, because Athens, Georgia, what a mythical town. But again, that story's been told. How come nobody's telling the Dayton story? Or at least maybe they're telling it on like BET, but they need to tell it on like crossover platforms because at the end of the day, I'm sorry to say, but like, you know, a song like Fantastic Voyage, you know that song. Everybody knows that song. Those are crossover songs that play at weddings, bar mitzvahs. You know, they're sampled. Zap is like the most sampled guy. So like that music has infiltrated mainstream culture, but not the story behind it. And that's why we're so like, we're Chromeo. Like we're a very happy, fun loving band. But like this whole thing with us started with a bit of a chip on our shoulder because we were like, hey, people should talk about this more. And then we dedicated our musical career to it. And then the last thing, the last bonus cut, and I know you were going to mention him before, P, is Sugarfoot. The song is I Will Be Your Star. The album is Sugar Kiss, but you mentioned that you really wanted to talk about Sugarfoot.
So Sugarfoot also out of Ohio players. And the thing with Sugarfoot is he was actually born, so the Troutman family is from Hamilton, Ohio, actually. And Sugarfoot is also from Hamilton, Ohio. It's a tiny town. I went there to Roger and Larry's grave, where they have the family cemetery. It's a small town, 30 minutes outside of Dayton. That's already a small town.
Yeah.
And that's where the cola factory was. That whole town used to live off of the cola factory. And it was, you know, middle class neighborhood back in the 50s and 60s. The factory closed down. And since then, the town has been almost abandoned. But I went there and I saw the structure and the architecture in the city. It was a suburb. It was three-floor houses, garage. I saw the garage where Zap, Roger Troutman, and his brother Lester and the whole family used to rehearse. Some of the family still lives there. And the day we drove through there, everybody was recognizing Lester. He would stop the car every 3 minutes, say hi to neighbors, old friends from elementary school. It was really touching. But Hamilton was a big hub for music also. There was a circuit of clubs in Hamilton where you could literally pinpoint every club. This is where Zap played their first gig. This is where Bootsy Collins first met Roger Troutman. This is where Ohio players cut their teeth. This is where Sugarfoot had his first birthday. This is where, you know, like it's so rich. It's insane. And it's almost abandoned today.
It's a trip because, like, really, like, the you know, if you, I was just like reading the wiki on that city, and like all these middle American, like, sort of former Rust Belt, well, no, they are Rust Belt towns. Like, it's a story about this country's economics. It's a story about the 20th century. And it's a story about the music that came out of, like, certain communities within those cities. And then that music goes on, permeates pop culture all the way to today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we always wanted to kind of pay homage to that. And so what at the beginning sounds like this super niche playlist of, like, funk from Dayton, Ohio, it's actually just like saying Motown. You know what I mean? Like, it's just straight up like saying Motown. And yeah, so that kind of concludes this fantastic voyage.
Incredible. That was perfect.
All right.
So amazingly put. You know, this is just such an illuminating chat, all of these stories about, you know, this regional sort of breakout. And it just reminds me, you know, before I'll let you guys go soon, but, you know, it's really interesting thinking about the socioeconomics of it all, and thinking about today and how our middle class is shrinking in America.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Anyway, and, you know, there's less and less people that live in places with basements that want to make music, and, you know, like those garages, and, like, you know, just there's so much happening that it feels like we're losing some of this opportunity. I mean, I feel it living in New York City all the time. It's like there's nowhere to go, there's nowhere to play anymore. And I'm really curious, you know, what you guys think about the future of not just funk music, but the aspiring musician in America right now. You know, what does the future hold for people that just want to get together in some basement and play, you know?
Well, luckily you don't need a basement anymore. You know, I think one thing that's amazing is the DIY nature of music, and the fact that, you know, obviously all you need is not even a laptop, could be an iPad or it could be a phone or whatever. But that, you know, that democratized music and rock music and with instruments is a little more niche compared to electronic music and genres that are adjacent to electronic music. But what's cool about what we're discussing now is that traditions interpolate from each other, reference each other. So it's not because there's no more garages that this music that we're talking about is dead, because it's being sampled, it's being referenced, it's being repurposed by subsequent generations, you know? So there's sort of two things. There's obviously, like, the question of the shrinking middle class is a real problem, but I think musically there's a million different avenues, and some of the most exciting genres of music don't need a basement or, you know, a sort of five, four, three-piece band anymore. And I mean, it's okay when they're there. It's amazing, you know? And I think being in New York and looking what kids are doing, you know, I go to Babies All Right and I watch, like, the sort of newer wave of, like, indie kids and the bands are back, and I love it. You know, I'm here for it. But the beautiful thing about all these musical traditions is that it just keeps going. You know, it references itself. They reference each other to keep evolving. The means change. You know, with Chromeo, we're sort of traditionalists in a certain way, because we just use analog synths, and we do things in kind of, like an artisanal way. And that's our twist, right? That's our little contribution. But I don't know. It's beautiful to see it all evolve. I think it behooves us to sort of embrace all of that.